Brought four fine gentlemen with me this morning. We have Andrew, James, Kyle, and Jim, and you're gonna hear from their stories in a moment. Teen Challenge. Why do we exist? Around the world today, there are over 246 million people who are caught up in addiction to drugs. There's another 450,000 people. 246 million in addiction to drugs. Another 450 million addicted to alcohol or use it to abuse. You take those two population groups together, population-wise, they represent the third largest country of the world. And addiction affects all of us. It affects the rich, it affects the poor, it affects the large urban centers like Toronto, it affects the smaller centers and smaller little counties in southwestern Ontario. It affects the one who says, I don't believe in God, affects those in our churches in this very church this morning. I'm sure there's some of you in this small number who are touched by addiction some way, somehow. It's all around us. We know that the scripture says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he does a fabulous job of that through addiction. Because addiction, it does steal. It steals hope. It steals fathers from their kids. It steals kids from their parents. It steals wives from husbands. It destroys families. It destroys jobs. It destroys careers. And it kills. It kills lives. Seven people die every minute through addiction, either through an accidental overdose or through suicide, because there is no way out. There is no hope. There is no answer. There is no solution. There's no end to this pain. I've tried everything to numb it, to get rid of it, to overcome this, and nothing works. There is no hope. Nothing left to live for. I lost everything. Nothing left to live for. And suicide seems like a good option. And so addiction does steal, it does destroy, and does kill. But this morning we're here to tell you, and you hear some of these stories. You're going to hear some of these tragedies. You're going to hear some of how the enemy has stolen and destroyed things in these men's lives. But more than that this morning, you're going to hear that there is hope. Ultimately through Jesus Christ and what he's doing through Teen Challenge program, that there is hope. And these men will share the hope they've found, the freedom they now have, and the reconciliation has taken place in their lives and families. And what the enemy has meant for harm, the Lord is using for good, for his purpose. What the locusts have eaten, the Lord is restoring in our lives. And so there is hope this morning. And so this morning we're here to let you know that hope. And if you yourself are struggling with addiction, know that there is hope for you. If you are a family member who has a loved one caught up in addiction, and you've been praying and praying and praying for your loved one to find hope, we're here to provide an option for you, but to also encourage you to not give up that hope, to keep praying for your loved one or your neighbor or the one that's on your mind right now who caught up in addiction. Teen Challenge is now in its 60th year. We have centers in over 1,200 countries of the world. Here in Canada, we have a network of about 15 teen challenges. Our center, as I mentioned, we are in London. The original Teen Challenge here in Canada started in Hamilton in 73. We've been at this facility in London since the early 90s, 1991, 92. And we are a 52-bed facility for men 18 and over. It's a 12-month residential faith-based drug and alcohol program for men at this center. We also, as I mentioned in a moment, we have a ladies center as well. But our center, 52 beds in London, 1 year long. It's not easy, but it's 1 year for the rest of their life. And you can hear some of their stories this morning. A day in the life, what does the program look like very quickly? Their week, they have one-on-one addictions counseling. They have spiritual formation class where they're learning things about themselves, about addiction through a biblical worldview, through a biblical lens. Some of these guys, not all of them, but some of these guys come into the program with labels that they've worn from other people who said, you are no good, you'll never amount to anything, you're junk, you're garbage, you're unloved, you're unwanted, you're not good enough. And they've taken these labels on, but through spiritual formation, as they get into the scriptures and engage with scripture, they learn what God says about them, that you are loved, you are chosen, you are holy, you're blameless. You do have a purpose, you do have a plan. You are chosen, accepted. And so spiritual formation is a big part of their journey. Chapels during the week, and then on the weekends we get to do what we're doing to this morning, is to visit fine churches like this and to share our stories with you. We also have, as I mentioned, other centers in Canada. We do have some ladies' centers as well. We have one north of Toronto. That's the closest to this center. So if you want information about our ladies' program, we have some literature at the table. We'll be glad to leave with you. and we're opening up future centers across Canada as well for ladies. One right now in St. John's, Newfoundland, being opened up hopefully by the, it's in process right now, fundraising and getting things going. Hopefully we have students there by the end of the year, into next year, and another ladies' center currently being built in Saskatchewan. So we keep growing because the need is great. I mentioned that these guys come, they find freedom. And one of those guys I'm going to share with you stories, share his story with you this morning is James. James, are you coming up?
Yeah, so as Mark said, we struggle with drugs and alcohol. Some of us alcohol, some of us drugs, some of us both. And I appreciate what Tim said to his students, because he'd look around the classroom seeing a lot of these kids that will be affected by it and knowing that he can't do anything about it. It's true, even in his church. I know I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents did everything they could. They raised me as best as possible, but I had a lot of things happen in my life. I grew up with four siblings, three sisters and a brother, and Christian home, pretty good upbringing. My parents loved me, showed me love all the time. But when my dad, when I was about 3 years old, my mom was in an accident at work, which stopped her being able to work, and she was on bed rest for a couple years. So I got really close to my mom through that point. I was 3 years old and was constantly with my mom. My dad was never home. He was always working to support us kids. So not by his fault, I was affected in not having my dad around as a child. And so that really left me kind of not trying to navigate life as a boy and coming into manhood on my own. When I was 12 years old, my brother decided to start using and selling drugs himself. And so that was another male role model out of my life at that point as well. So I'm kind of 12 years old, kind of struggling to figure out what to do as a man or coming into manhood and adolescenthood. And so I had no dad to help me with that. My brother was gone out of the house as well. And so kind of trying to navigate on my own. When I grew up, I was always a bigger guy. As you can see from the picture on the left there, I've lost 130 pounds since getting a teen challenge. And it's the word for that too. Like, I know we're here talking about drugs and alcohol addiction, but food addiction is very huge too, and it was for me as well. As much as the drugs and the alcohol were a problem, food was another thing. Like, if I didn't have any dope or anything like that, I'd eat because it was what comforted me, and it was what I turned to because I was to try and comfort my hurts, right? And so over a series of sessions with my counselor, we talked about getting me healthier and stuff like that and overcoming that addiction. And that was honestly harder than putting down the drugs. So I understand if you're coming from me to talk to me about it after, I'm open to talk about that too. But yeah, so essentially, at about 12 years old, I was on my own, kind of trying to figure out my way in the world. And at this point in my life, I started being sexually abused by somebody in my family. So this kind of left me feeling I was already lost with no dad, don't know dad to kind of as a role model, no brother. And this left me feeling sort of like it was my fault. It's kind of weird how sexual abuse works, at least in my head. It leaves you feeling like you're the one who did something wrong, like you're the one who has something, you're guilty of something, that you did something wrong with. This happened to me. Like, it happened to you. It wasn't your fault at all, but that's how you feel. And so feeling confused and stuff like that, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I was always bullied as a kid. And so I started hanging out with guys in high school that would accept me for who I was, which were the drug dealers and the guys who were using, because I would use with them, and therefore you become friends, right? And so my brother had a reputation as a drug dealer, and so they always accepted me because he was respected in that world. And so this caused me to start using smoking cigarettes and marijuana, probably age 14, 15, mostly just dabbling at this point. And at about age 16, I started working at a bar in my hometown in Lucan, and which is about 15 minutes north of London, Ontario. And at this bar, I met some people that were involved with some organized crime and stuff, and I tried cocaine and alcohol for the first time. And I realized that they were very good to numb pain that I was experiencing from the past sexual abuse and bullying and stuff. It was good to numb the pain. It made me feel like I was on top of the world. I could do anything. I felt accepted. I felt like I was making everybody else happy when I was high and drunk. So it was good to numb the pain. And I felt like I was having this great lifestyle and everything. And things were going great. So I finished high school. And I started, I was an occasional user at this point. I wasn't really full-time using. But then I met my, reconnected with my brother. I hadn't seen him in about 6 years up until the point I was 19, 18. And at this point, my brother came back in my life. He had been struggling with crystal meth addiction, and he had been involved in organized crime and stuff. And so when I met him again, I thought, like, great, this is an opportunity where I could have my brother back in my life. And he'd be a good role model for me. I can have this man in my life again, and I felt really like something was going to be fulfilled through him, not realizing that it was going to be kind of my downfall. I felt like I had to make him happy, so I'd do things he wanted me to do. I was 17, 18, and he's like, yo, we need to go to London and do this and that and the other thing. So I had my license, and I would start, I started driving for him to go, eventually started selling drugs with my brother. So I started driving for him, and then eventually started making my own money. And at this point, it was sort of that high and fast and loose lifestyle. So to stay awake, you'd start using drugs and stuff like that, right? And so already being a cocaine user when I was about 20 years old, a friend of mine introduced me to crack cocaine. He told me it was the same thing that cocaine was. It's just that you smoke it instead, which is not true at all. At this point, I could control, when I was using coke, I could control what I was doing. I could go to work. I had a hell of a job, had my own car and everything. And then as soon as I used meth and crack, it was like, it totally changed. I was a shut-in, getting paranoid, lost my job, lost the house I was hopefully going to buy, lost my car, lost everything. And at this point, I was kind of left alone. I didn't have any connection with my brother anymore. Owed a lot of people money. Owed my parents money. I stole my mom's wedding ring, stole her engagement ring, credit cards, ran out thousands of dollars in debt for them on those. And ran out myself, got involved in some fraudulent activity as well. And so it really shows you, like, looking back on my own story, I kind of see, like, where one small thing, like, it's not small, but one thing in my life, the sexual abuse and the bullying, really led to a good, well-brought-up kid in the church going to total opposite. It makes no sense. Sometimes people see a kid brought up in church, like, how did you get to that point? Well, you know, and it all comes down to my own insecurity, too, right? I didn't know how to deal with the sexual abuse at all. I had no idea how to deal with that, no idea how to heal from that. And so, like Mark said, we have an hour of counseling a week, and that's really been a huge blessing to me since coming to Teen Challenge. Probably my favorite part of Teen Challenge has to be probably dorm prayer. We have every night, well, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, we have dorm prayer with our dorm. So we're in separate dorms at Teen Challenge, and so there's about 12, anywhere from 10 to 16, I think it's the biggest in Abraham. Yeah, anywhere from 10 to 16 guys in your dorm, and we all gather at nighttime, at 9 at night, 9:30, we have dorm prayer together, we pray for each other, we do a little devotional, and it's a good time to connect with the guys, and through that time, we really become vulnerable with each other, and we share things that we're struggling with, things we're feeling, and like we're honest, if you're having cravings that day or whatever, or you feel like you want to leave, we're honest with each other, and we pray for each other and pray through it, and probably the biggest thing God's done in my life since coming to Teen Challenge is I've actually, been, over the Christmas break, I was really having a hard time with the sexual abuse stuff. I kind of was tackling that with my counselor, and I decided to write a letter to the person in my family who actually did that to me. And since then, me and her have actually been able to talk on the phone quite a bit. We're starting to reconcile and actually build a relationship. I've been able to forgive her, and that's only by the grace of God, because I held on to the anger for the past 12 years and the hatred for the past 12 years. And God's done a crazy work in my life. And so I finished Teen Challenge in April, and I'm hoping to there's a possibility for me to go to work at a Christian camp afterwards, Forest Cliff Camp. So that's a possibility. I might be moving up north with my sister for a while. I'm not too sure yet. And I hope to go to Bible college and become a youth pastor someday, because I want to touch the lives of Christian children coming up in the church who felt the same way I did, where they had nobody to turn to talk about their issues, and hopefully stop some church kids from deciding to go down the road that I took. So leave me with a verse, I guess, which would be 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "And the God of all grace who called you according, the God of all grace called you according to his glory in Jesus Christ, will himself one day restore you, make you firm and steadfast." Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us, James. And I'm very proud of the journey you're on, but I must say you're half the man you used to be. Losing 130 pounds? Oh, never mind. I'm going to ask another James. Jim and Kyle join me here on the stage, and I have some questions for them. And right now you have three East Coasters on the stage with you. That's right. So, Jim, can you tell us how old are you and what month in the program are you?
Okay. My name is Jim. I'm from St. John's, Newfoundland. I'm 50 years old, and I'm going into month 5.
Okay, how about you, Kyle?
My name's Kyle. I'm from Moncton, New Brunswick. I'm 26 years old, and I'm in a refresher program, which is only 6 months long, because I already did the 1 year, but I have 2 weeks left of it.
Okay, and can you share with us? Yeah, that's great. Can you share with us a little bit of what brought you into Teen Challenge, maybe the first time?
The first time what brought me into Teen Challenge is I had gone to a secular rehab the year before, at that secular rehab, I asked Christ into my life for the first time because I didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything. But then after the secular rehab, I went back to my drugs pretty intensely. Anyways, long story short, I tried to kill myself one night when I kind of like ran out of money and whatnot. When I woke up the next morning, I had like no hope for my future. I had no clue what was going to happen. So I was like, all right, I might as well. Now that I'm not dead, like I honestly planned on being dead, I might as well try this whole Teen Challenge thing and give it a shot. And that would have been May of 2016.
Okay. And we'll get back to your story in a moment. But Jim, can you tell us about how you heard of Teen Challenge the first time?
In 2010, my wife, Tracy, decided she had enough of me and enough of my drug life. And decided to go to Teen Challenge in Aurora. I seen the transformation in my wife, and I wanted what she got, what she had, she got out of this program. So I attempted Teen Challenge twice in the Atlantic, and I failed twice at it.
Nice. So his wife went through the program for her own issues and graduated, and she's now actually working with Teen Challenge to get the Ladies Center in Newfoundland opened, which is kind of cool. And now here you are in our men's program. Can you tell us a little bit what you heard of Teen Challenge for your wife, but what was the need, what was your rock bottom that led you to come to Teen Challenge?
My rock bottom was when I left my wife in Aurora, Ontario, and I headed back to Newfoundland, where I made a poor decision and stepped outside of my marriage commitment, and I moved in with another woman. She was also a drug addict, and I just wanted to die. I just gave up.
And so now you've been at Teen Challenge a few months. Teen Challenge is aptly named. It's a lot of challenges in that. Can you share with us what's been the biggest challenge for you in these few months you've been with us so far?
One of my biggest challenges, I'm not used to memorizing scripture and reading the Bible for starters.
Okay.
And I know my life is being transformed, and I like who I'm becoming more and more each day. I'm proud of who I'm becoming. Mm. I'm becoming the man that God intended me to be.
That's right. Awesome. And how about you, Kyle? What's been a challenge for you this time around?
Probably one of the biggest challenges for me is actually being in London, Ontario. I'm a pretty big mama's boy, actually, regardless of all my years of drug use. And this is like the furthest I've been from my family. Like they're out in Moncton, New Brunswick. It's the furthest I've been from them for the longest. And it's a challenge because I really didn't want to have to deal with it, but it's good because it's causing me to grow up. I'm 26 years old, and I was pretty much a child a year ago. So it's causing me to grow up, or forcing me to grow up and be an adult and kind of do my own thing. So a challenge, but I'm grateful for the challenge because it's helping me.
Nice. And coming back, so you did the one-year program in Moncton. You graduated that. And you had a relapse out east. You've been with us now for 6 months. What has God been doing in your heart these past, in particular the last couple of months, but since coming to London, there's refresher. What's God been doing in your heart?
The last 6 months with God have been crazy to the point where, like, I even questioned my relationship with him beforehand when I thought I had a relationship with him. Because now we're actually, like, I'm enjoying praying and I'm enjoying spending time and I'm actually feeling, like, communication with him and whatnot. And I'm trying to just trust in him a lot more. That's one of my biggest struggles is trusting in him and literally just kind of giving the future over to him. And just one of my big analogies in my head is he's just going to light the next step for me, because if he shows me my too far into the future, then I'll try and take a hold of it and run with it. So he's just showing me my next step. And so I guess we're growing in a relationship with that. And I feel since I've come here, in my year at Teen Challenge out east, I was trying to feel where he was calling me to go, and I thought it was like to be a high school teacher, which it could still potentially be, but I always knew when I was out there that he wasn't calling me into ministry. I always would say, like, if he's calling me into ministry, I'll do it, but he's not. Anyway, since coming here, I feel that there's a slight possibility he's calling me into ministry, which I fought for quite a bit, but I've started to come to terms with. I think he might want me to be a youth pastor, but we'll see. So I could potentially be going to Bible college in September, which, is something that if you would have told me I was going to do a year ago, I'd say you were pretty crazy, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Nice. So be in prayer for Kyle, would you, about his future, that God would continue to light the path before him and provide the resources he needs for schooling. Jim, you mentioned you're very proud of the man you're becoming. What's God doing in your life?
He's transforming me. I just like to reach out to little kids and talk about what alcohol and drugs done to me and the places that it took me. And if I can just reach one little kid out there to stop him from going down that road that I went down, I will accomplish one of my goals.
Nice. So you still have, another 7 months with us or so? So what's your plans after graduation? Have you thought that through yet?
I've returned to Newfoundland to my family. And just like I said, talk to little kids and just move forward. My relationship with my wife is the best it ever been.
Nice. Good. Get back to Newfoundland, away from all the snow. Hey, bye.
Amen.
Yes. do you have a favorite verse you want to leave us with?
Psalm 40:1-2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit of mud and myrrh. He placed my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand.
Nice. And how about you, Kyle? What's a verse you want to leave us with?
This is one that I was actually in my devotional this morning, but as I was reading it over and over again, I liked it. It's 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And I kind of like it because I actually, last week, our spiritual formation coach kind of told us a story about, long story short, but going to the dentist and having pain and whatnot. And then anyways, he would pray and the pain didn't go away, but it made it bearable. So it's kind of like, you know, now that I'm a Christian and whatnot, it's not like all the problems are just going to go away and it's going to be nice and easy and all the pain's going to go away. But with God and praying to God, it can almost be bearable, I guess.
Okay. Nice. Well, thank you both for sharing your hearts with us today.
Thanks.
And lastly, I'm going to call up another gentleman that's from the East as well, not quite as far as East Coast, but east of here in Kitchener. And so, Andrew.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your warm welcome this morning. It was much appreciated considering how cold and miserable it is outside. So, how I want to share my testimony this morning. I'm in my 9th month of the program, and my past is history now. I'll touch a little bit on it, but I want to focus on the transformation that's happened in my life and the future that I hold. And what's really captivated me in the last 9 months is that the shame and the guilt and the self-hatred I had, the joy that I have in Christ and the future in my life surpasses that shame and that guilt immensely. And so that's what keeps me going every day instead of having the shame and guilt, you know, bearing down on me. But I grew up in a Christian family, but what I lacked was a personal identity in Christ. I had no purpose and meaningful fulfillment in my life. I began drinking at 19, first socially, but over time I ended up drinking by myself in front of no one, chemically dependent on alcohol. I hated myself, I didn't like who I had become, and I didn't know how to stop. I was ashamed to tell my family I had a problem and needed help. I suffered from debilitating anxiety when I would stop drinking, which rendered me unable to work. That was my rock bottom. From there, I knew I needed to get my life back on track before my drinking would cause irreversible consequences. What I needed was a year-long, faith-based program to tear down the walls I had built and start afresh on God's strong foundation, which the rest of my life would stand. The first 4 months of the program was about my life physically. Could I succeed from detox, and could I overcome my anxiety? It was a daily struggle to maintain my composure with anxiety. I had some real challenging days which I had to fight through strong thoughts of wanting to leave. It took me 5 months to fully detox from the years of toxic abuse. Months four through eight, were when I really made peace with being in the program. I became settled, knowing I was meant to be here. Those months were also about life and death for me spiritually. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to give dead people life. And I chose life himself. No doubt in my mind, coming to Teen Challenge was God's way of calling me back to him. One of the aspects of this program that took time to appreciate was a lack of digital stimulus. Now I truly appreciate the time I have for personal contemplation, reflection, Bible study, and devotion. Ravi Zacharias said, many Christians have so busy themselves with programs and activities that they no longer know how to be silent and meditate on God's word or recognize the mysteries that are in the person of Christ. At one point in the program, I was internally whining and complaining. I wanted greater educational enrichment, higher quality teaching, and deeper theological topics to challenge me mentally. I got caught up with doing more for God than being more with God. John 15:5 says, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Ravi Zacharias also said, you can learn so much from books. You can only learn so much from education. Ultimately, it is the wisdom of God that will carry you through in the toughest situations of life. A second big revelation for me during my sixth and seventh months were that of staying focused on God during times of chaos. When I'm not in control and can't change my surroundings, I've learned to rely on my trust in God because only he has complete understanding and only he has complete sovereign control. The Bible has played a significant role in my recovery. Not only is it the greatest self-help book and the world's best-selling book in history, but it's a proven and trusted resource for me. For me, the Bible is a practical guide to how to live life to the fullest with purpose and meaning. The issues and topics addressed are absolutely relevant today, and it contains the greatest example of life that ever lived. What more could I ask for from a book? I experienced firsthand the results of applying the Bible's principles and practices, which have confirmed and validated for me the truth that lies therein. With 3 months remaining, it is important for me to continually be focused right to the end and through graduation. A quote I believe to be really wise is, if you don't practice giving it everything you've got now, you won't have what it takes when you really need it most. God has revealed himself to me in so many unique ways. Every time has been when I least expected it. God does it in such a way I don't see it coming, but then I know it's him. I've learned to trust God's supreme understanding through which he mysteriously works. Just like Romans 8:28 says, God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I trust by faith where he leads me, and everything has worked out so far. In Proverbs 20:24, it says, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? After graduation, my former job is available to me. I intend to return there if my active job search within my field of study goes unsuccessful. God used my addiction to bring me back to him, and I know he'll use me to bring people to him. My closing verse is Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will always learn from your own experiences on how his ways will really satisfy you. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you to all the men who share this morning. It's not easy to stand up in front of strangers and to bare your soul and to talk about some hurtful things from the past and to be vulnerable. And so thank you for listening and engaging with them. And will you pray for them as God puts it on your heart? You may not remember their names, but God remembers their names. And so would you pray for them and their futures and their continuance in our program, that God give them the strength and the perseverance to finish what together they've started. So you've heard this morning, you've heard the tragedies, you've heard the stark reality of addiction, you know it, you've seen it, you're a teacher in your own church, he deals with every day in the school system, you know it, you've seen it, you hear it in the news, you hear these days the fentanyl and the overdoses. We just had 3 guys in the past month die on our waiting list, ready to get in. They're in the application process and died through overdose. So we know these things, and it can get very overwhelming on what do I do, what's my part to play in it. So this morning, you heard the why we should get behind it. You heard the stories, you heard the hope, you've heard the transformation and the families and reconciliation. That's the why. So I'm here to tell you a little bit on how, if God puts in your heart, how you can get behind us and support us. Teen Challenge is a non-government funded program. The guys, when they come through our doors, they pay $100 to apply and then $1,000 for the program. That's for the year. Most rehab programs out there, they will charge you about $10,000 for a month or more. And so we make it very affordable so those who need help can find help. But it takes money to run a program such as ours, and so we don't receive any money from the government. So here's some ways that you can get behind us and help with us. First is through a card donation. Has anybody here donated a card eating challenge? In the back, a few of you. Well, thank you so much. Hopefully it was a good process for you. So Ting Challenge, we receive anything with wheels. If it's an old beater of a vehicle and it doesn't even run, call us up, we'll take it. We'll come pick it up from you. You get a minimum tax receipt for $400 if it's a junker. You'll get the wholesale value of the car. So if it's a later model car, you're just looking to maybe trade in on something newer and better, but it runs relatively well, maybe a few extra kilometers on it, but looking to just upgrade. Again, you can give Ting Challenge a call. We'll give you a tax receipt for the wholesale value of that car. Again, we can come to you and pick it up from you. You can tax receipt for it, so you win with the receipt. Ting Challenge wins because we'll take that back. Our students in our work therapy component of the program, some of them are in our vehicle donation program, and they help kind of detail the cars up, clean them up a little bit, and turn around for resale. And so they win with some experience in our work therapy program, and the program, and again, the student benefits from the money, the sale of the vehicle coming back to the program. So if you have a vehicle you're looking to get rid of, certainly give Ting Challenge a call, and we'll help you with that. Also, we have special events throughout the year. Our next special events are coming up in March. And in your brochure this morning, you've got the details of our spring gala coming up, March 22nd and March 23rd, both in London at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel. Fine meal together. You're going to hear from our Teen Challenge choir. We have a former graduate coming back and sharing what's gone on in his life since leaving Teen Challenge. And you're going to hear some more student testimonies as well. So a great night, great food, great fellowship, meeting our students. If you are free one of those nights, you can come and help support that as well. Also, on the way in, as I mentioned, you did receive a brochure like this. If you want to take a moment, take that out and look it through with me. It's our sponsorship program. And then it explains a little bit of our program, but also has information there where you can leave some of your information with us and sponsor one of our students. We have sponsor cards out there at our table as well. So here's Andrew's as an example. So if you want to sponsor a student, you can sponsor someone like Andrew today. Take Andrew home with you. And not literally, of course. But in his card, put them on your fridge, put them in your Bible, somewhere that you remember to pray for him. Please only take these if you are sponsoring a student. There's a cost to producing these and making these. So if you sponsor, you can take one home, put it on your fridge, and be reminded to pray for him. It's very simple. We can help you at the table, but leave your information here. We accept void check. We accept major credit cards. Leave that with ourselves. That is confidential. I take that back. Our students don't see your information, but you can sponsor a student for $40 a month and become a monthly sponsor of that student. Throughout his program, you'll receive updates from him from how things are going. Here's some victories, things are going well. Here's some struggles that I'm having. Please pray for me. Here's little updates about them. At the end of the 1 year, you're invited to their graduation and come celebrate with them, with friends and family and other sponsors that are sponsoring them to congratulate them on a 1 year well done and support the recovery. On here, it has their birth date as well, a little bio about who they are. You can send them encouraging notes along the way, send them birthday cards, Christmas cards, and their favorite time of card is the Tim Hortons card. You can throw those in as well. They love their caffeine, especially for weekends like this when we travel. So if you'd like to sponsor a student, again, $40 a month, it benefits the student's program, but it's more than the financial piece. It really is partnering with them in the recovery. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a student who's feeling discouraged and ready to quit and give up. In my office or in the office of another of our staff members saying, that's it, I'm done, I'm checking out. And we ask them, hey, can you just give it another day? Sleep on it, pray on it before you make a rash decision. And if they do, I can't tell you how many times where a note comes in that day from a sponsor saying, I'm praying for you, I'm encouraging you, here's a scripture that I want to leave with you. And that's very encouraging to our guys. You know what? There's a stranger out there who loves me enough to take time out of their day to pray for me and support me and care for me and even throw a little Tim Hortons card in for me. And that's such an important part of their journey recovery as well. So if you want more information about sponsorship, please do see us at the table. Again, you can leave your information today, and we'll help you sponsor today, or you can send that in at a later date, and we'll send you somebody in the mail. But if God puts that upon your heart, there's an option for you as well. This morning, we have a debit machine at the table. If you are wanting to make a donation there, you're able to do that as well. This morning, we understand that our economy, what it is, and finances, what it is, it's tight for a lot of people. We know that a lot of people in this room don't have a car to donate. We know a lot of people in this room are not able to give $40 a month. We know a lot of people aren't even able to make a donation. We don't want you to feel guilted into that. It's between you and the Lord. He's going to put that on your heart. We don't want you to take money from the congregation here and the ministries that you're doing to give to Teen Challenge. But if you have extra money left over and you have no idea what to do with it, well, Teen Challenge is an option for you. But again, financially, not all of you are able to do anything, and that's okay. Be released from that. Don't be guilted into that. But it's something that you can all do this morning. That's pray. And would you truly please remember us in prayer? Remember us as a staff, as a center, that God will give us the wisdom in dealing with these men and helping them the best that we can. Pray for the students like these guys here individually and the rest that you haven't met yet. Pray for them. Pray the ones that are on our waiting list, ready to come in, that their hearts will be prepared and open to receive what God has for them in the year with us. So again, if you have any questions for us, we'll be at the table there for a moment. Please come by and say hello and shake our hands. And if you have any questions, we'd be glad to answer any of those for you this morning. I'm going to ask the worship band to come back and close in a song. And the last slide here, I love what that says about Teen Challenge and who we are. It says that hope lives here, freedom is found here, changed lives leave here. And that's really what Teen Challenge is all about this morning. So thank you for the time to come and share with you this morning and listening to our stories. God bless you all.